down at Tepic's shoes. He was already ankle-deep in greenery, which was cracking the centuries-old cobbles in its urgency. Without speaking a word, they gripped his elbows and lifted him into the air.
"The San," said Arthur.
"The San," agreed Chidder.
But they both knew even then that this was going to involve more than a hot poultice. The doctor sat back.
"Fairly straightforward," he said, thinking quickly. "A case of mortis portalis taculatum, with complications."
"What's that mean?" said Chidder.
"In layman's terms," the doctor sniffed, "he's as dead as a doornail."
"What are the complications?"
The doctor looked shifty.
"He's still breathing," he said. "Look, his pulse is nearly humming and he's got a temperature you could fry eggs on."
He hesitated, aware that this was probably too straightforward and easily understood. Medicine was a new art on the disc and wasn't going to get anywhere if people could understand it.
"Pyrocerebrum oerf culinary," he said, after working it out in his head.
"Well, what could you do about it?" said Arthur.
"Nothing. He's dead. All the medical tests prove it. So bury him, keep him nice and cool, and tell him to come and see me next week. In daylight, for preference."
"But he's still breathing."
"These are just reflex actions that might easily confuse the layman," said the doctor airily.
Chidder sighed. He suspected that the guild, who after all had an unrivalled experience of sharp knives and complex organic compounds, were much better at elementary diagnostics than were the doctors. The guild might kill people, but at least it didn't expect them to be grateful for it. Tepic opened his eyes.
"I must go home," he said. "Dead, is he?" said Chidder.
The doctor was a credit to his profession.
"It's not unusual for a corpse to make distressing noises after death," he said valiantly, "which can upset relatives and..."
Tepic sat bolt upright.
"Also, muscular spasms in the stiffening body can, in certain circumstances..."
the doctor began, but his heart wasn't in it anymore. Then an idea occurred to him.
"It's a rare and mysterious ailment," he said, "which is going around a lot at the moment. It's caused by something so small it can't be detected in any way whatsoever,"
he finished, with a self-congratulatory smile on his face. It was a good one, he had to admit. He'd have to remember it.
"Thank you very much," said Chidder, opening the door and ushering him through. "Next time we're feeling really well, we'll definitely call you in."
"It's probably a walrus," said the doctor, as he was gently but firmly propelled out of the room.
"He's caught a walrus. There's a lot of it going."
The door slammed shut. Tepic swung his legs off the bed and clutched at his head.
"I've got to go home," he repeated.
"Why?" said Arthur.
"Don't know. The kingdom wants me."
"You seem to be taken pretty bad there," Arthur began.
Tepic waved his hands dismissively.
"Look," he said, "please, I don't want anyone sensibly pointing out things. I don't want anyone telling me I should rest. None of it matters. I will be back in the kingdom as soon as possible. It's not a case of must, you understand. I will. And you can help me, Chiddy."
"How?"
"Your father has an extremely fast vessel he uses for smuggling," said Tepic flatly. "He will lend it to me in exchange for favourable consideration of future trading opportunities. If we leave inside the hour, it will do the journey in plenty of time."
"My father is an honest trader."
"On the contrary, 70% of his income last year was from undeclared trading in the following commodities."
Tepic's eyes stared into nothingness.
"From illegal transport of galleons and lucars, 9%. From night running of untaxed..."
"Well, 30% honest," Chidder admitted.
"Which is a lot more honest than most. You'd better tell me how you know, extremely quickly."
"I don't know," said Tepic. "When I was asleep, it seemed I knew everything, everything about everything. I think my father is dead."
"Oh," said Chidder. "Gosh, I'm sorry."
"Oh, no, it's not like that. It's what he would have wanted. I think he was rather looking forward to it. In our family, death is when you really start to, you know, enjoy life. I expect he's rather enjoying it."
In fact, the Pharaoh was sitting on a spare slab in the ceremonial preparation room, watching his own soft bits being carefully removed from his body and put into the special canopic jars. This is not a sight often seen by people, at least not